I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio. And I'm joined now by Stu Jackson, former NBA executive and coach. And Stu, before we go over some of the early season NBA storylines, I really wanted to get your thoughts, as I was just talking about it, on this new NBA G League deal where apparently some of the top prospects could get $125,000 and a chance to, I think, maybe more importantly, play in a professional environment. You know, some of these European guys now, I think, are very ready for the NBA because they're playing professionally at such a young age. How successful do you think that will be, and how soon?
Well, it was interesting in that the announcement from the NBA came at a little bit of a surprise to many people in the basketball world. I don't think many people saw it coming, but the gist of it is that they are going to allow high school players to sign what they call select contracts. And they're eligible to sign those contracts when they turn 18 years of age. So, you know, the implication is that, you know, a high school player would be, as you mentioned, in a professional environment with a G League team. That G League team is affiliated with NBA teams. So the idea is that they would actually develop in an NBA-type system at a very early age. The downside is that many high school players turn 18 before their senior year in high school. So conceivably, you could have a high school junior, rising senior, sign one of these select contracts for a year and then sign another select contract, you know, for another year before he's eligible actually for the draft. So that is both good and bad. It gives them a chance to develop in an NBA environment, but they they actually forego a chance at a high school diploma, and I don't really like that. Now, the good thing is that I don't think it's going to involve a lot of players. It's not going to be some mass exodus of high school players into the G League. I think you're talking, you know, anywhere from like 1 to 10 players per year.
Now, moving on to the early season in the NBA, let's start with a couple of things from last night before we get to what has been the big topic. The Raptors, to me, they're just as good as the Celtics, because you take a team that was excellent with some playoff failings and you add, you know, a proven scorer like Kawhi and defender. Kawhi actually reminds me a lot of Kobe on the offensive side, the way he plays. And then Danny Green, who's been there and done that. That kind of alleviates some of their playoff failings, especially when you combine that with some of their younger guys on the come up. Do you think the Raptors are for real this season?
Without question, they're for real in my mind. And the Raptors are not getting a lot of conversation in terms of potentially coming out of the Eastern Conference. I think many of the pundits out there have sort of given the Eastern Conference championship to the Boston Celtics. I don't happen to subscribe to that for the reasons that you mentioned. One is, you know, Kawhi is a great player. He's not a good player. He's a great player. He's like a top 10 type all-star, maybe even top 5. And a little bit better version probably of DeMar DeRozan, although DeRozan I think is going to fit nicely in San Antonio. But, you know, the strength of the Raptors is not just a guy like Kawhi. You forget that last year they had the second-best bench in the NBA. They're young. They're still developing. They still have a lot of upside. And they're all playoff-tested at this point. So I think the Raptors are a legitimate contender for the Eastern Conference. The one caution that, you know, I would have about the Raptors is I thought last season they really made some strides in terms of the way that they play. They changed their style of play to involve more ball movement, more player movement, and just watching them the first two games of this season, and understand it's early yet, but I see them gravitating back a little bit to more one-on-one basketball, utilizing, you know, Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry, and I just hope for the Raptors' sake, that they continue to move the basketball, move players around, because in the playoffs, you're a little bit more difficult to defend if, you know, instead of being just a one-on-one type team.
Robin Lundberg talking to Stu Jackson, former NBA executive and coach here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, before we get to LeBron and the Lakers, which is obviously a huge topic, is there anything that stood out to you from just a couple of games? For me, it might be the New Orleans Pelicans. Like, I knew Anthony Davis was a problem. Obviously, everybody should have at this point. But if that front court rotation with Mirotić and Julius Randle pans out the way it could, and Elfrid Payton is one of those young guys who winds up in a new environment and thrives there along with Holiday in the backcourt, maybe the Pelicans are a little bit better than I or other people realized.
Yeah, don't sleep on the Pelicans. And you hit it right on the head. You know, when they lost Boogie Cousins, you know, everybody thought it was a huge blow. And don't get me wrong, it is. I mean, Boogie Cousins is a great, great player. But if you look what they've done here over the past, you know, 12 months and adding a guy like Mirotić, Elfrid Payton, and then they get Julius Randle, those are three players that I think are as good a fit with Anthony Davis as you can get. Mirotić, who's averaged 30 now in his first two games, is a great perimeter shooter which spreads the floor. Elfrid Payton, you know, while he's not a great perimeter shooter, he needs space because he's an excellent penetrator, and he gets that with the likes of Mirotić or Anthony Davis, you know, on, you know, spreading the floor. And then you add Julius Randle. And listen, the thing about Julius Randle that I think is a big weapon for any team, and I think the Lakers are going to sorely miss this, he is a very good rebounder. But he's a rebounder on the defensive end. When he retrieves the basketball, he can push the basketball himself, and everybody can take off. You know, it's not like he needs to necessarily always get the ball, you know, to a guard, and that's a very, very potent offensive weapon. And if you look at their numbers over the past two games, they're scoring a lot of points. And they're scoring a lot of points because they can do it outside, they can do it inside with Anthony Davis, they're great on the break, and they've improved a little bit defensively. Don't sleep on the New Orleans Pelicans. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they are a Western Conference team that actually has home court going into the playoffs this season, and then look out.
Now, to LeBron and the Lakers, did you make anything of that first game? I mean, to me, obviously, they got to shoot the ball a little bit better. I know that's been a weakness going in, but I don't think it's as bad as it was the other night. I was impressed by the pace that they played with. Anything that stands out to you or any big-picture thoughts that you have on that team?
Yeah, they're an interesting study, and everybody is doing just that because it's LeBron. And we've all been here before. LeBron has taken players of lesser talent and made them great, and I have no doubt that he'll do that with the Lakers as well. But, you know, the one thing you mentioned was the pace of the game. You understand when, you know, the dirty little secret is with LeBron is his teams, particularly in Cleveland, were very low pace, low possession teams. LeBron himself is not used to playing at this pace. And I suspect as we go along here into November and December, you know, the Lakers will settle at a pace that LeBron is A, comfortable with, and two, more takes advantage of possessions with where he has the ball in his hand. And that's where they're going to be most effective. The worry about the Lakers is, though, they don't have great perimeter shooting. They don't have great size. But what they do have is the greatest player in the world.
On the other side of that matchup tonight, are you in the camp that thinks Houston's going to take a step back or no?
I am totally entrenched in the camp that Houston will take a step back. They're not as good, okay? They're not as good, and I don't want to make too much of role players, but when you lose Luke Abahamute and Trevor Ariza, you lose two very good defending role players. And what the Houston Rockets were able to do before is put those two players on the floor along with P.J. Tucker, and they could stop teams at various points during the game because they're three great defenders. Add to the fact that Jeff Bezdelic, you know, under the radar move, decides to retire, who is their defensive, you know, assistant coach, and he ran the defense, and it all spells trouble for me. And I worry about the Houston Rockets.
Stu, really appreciate your time and insight this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.